because you won't take blame. Not you, not your friends. I make you take it. I stick it on you like a sign. For my dear dead daughter that you killed, I do this, and for her mother, and for her children. Then your friend comes. He poisons dogs, shoots guns in the night, uses his hands on a woman, threatens to throw acid into the face of children. Take it off, he says. Take it off, and take it off, and take it off. And finally I say, okay, as long as he will podel enkelt. Get out of here. Not from what he did, but from what he will do. He is crazy, this friend of yours, and he will never stop. Even my Jelena says she sees from his eyes he will never stop. But we'll never stop either, she says, and I say, yes, we will. Yes, we will stop. Because if we don't, we are crazy like the town man's friend. If we don't stop, we must think what the white man says is right. God pays back that it's a push. Tense and relax. Tense and relax. Open and close. Take it off, he says. And at least he don't say, make it disappear. Make it not there anymore. Because a curse is in some way like a baby. His old dark thumbs pulled. The slit stretched open. No one understands this thing. Not me either, but I know a little. Curse is your word, but Rome is better. Listen, purpur fagade ansictet. You know that? Billy shook his head slowly, thinking the phrase had a richly dark texture. It means something like child of the night flowers. Is like to get a child to his varsel, changeling. Gypsies say varsel is always found under lilies or nightshade which blooms at night. This way of saying is better because curse is a thing. What you have is not a thing. What you have is alive. Yes, Billy said. It's inside, isn't it? It's inside, eating me.
Inside? Outside?
Lemke shrugged.
Everywhere. This thing. Purpur fagade ansictet. You bring it into the world like a baby. Only it grows strong faster than a baby. And you can't kill it because you can't see it. Only you can see what it does.
The thumbs relaxed. The slit closed. A dark red rivulet trickled down the mild topography of the pie crust.
This curse, you, the Kent Felto Gardaborg. Be to it like a father. You still want to get rid of it?
Billy nodded.
You still believe in the push?
Yes. It was only a croak. The old gypsy man with the rotting nose smiled. The black lines of rot under his left cheek dipped and wavered. The park was nearly empty now. The sun was nearing the horizon. The shadows covered them. Suddenly the knife was in Lemke's hand again, the blade out.
He's going to stab me, Billy thought dreamily. Going to stab me in the heart and then run away with his strawberry pie under his arm. Unwrap your hand, Lemke said.
Billy looked down.
Yes, where she shot you.
Billy pulled the clamps out of the elastic bandage and slowly unwrapped it. Underneath, his hand looked too white, fish-like. In contrast, the edges of the wound were a dark, dark red, a liverish color. The same color of those things inside his pie, Billy thought. The strawberries, or whatever they are. And the wound had lost its almost perfect circularity as the edges puffed together. Now it looked like...
like a slit, Billy thought, his eyes drifting back to the pie.
Lemke handed Billy the knife. How do I know you haven't coated this blade with Karari or cyanide or decon rat-proof, he thought about asking and then didn't. Janelli was the reason. Janelli and the curse of the white man from town.
The pocket knife's worn bone handle fitted comfortably into his hand.
If you want to get rid of the Purpurfagar de Ansiktet, first you give it to the pie, and then you give the pie with the cursed child inside it to someone else. But it has to be soon, or it come back on you double. You understand?
Yes, Billy said.
Then do it if you will, Lemka said.
His thumbs tightened again. The darkish slit in the pie crust spread open. Billy hesitated, but only for a second. Then his daughter's face rose in his mind. For a moment he saw her with all the clarity of a good photograph, looking back at him over her shoulder, laughing, her pom-poms held in her hands like big, silly purple and white fruits. You're wrong about the push, old man, he thought. Heidi for Linda, my wife for my daughter. That's the push. He pushed the blade of Tadus Lemka's knife into the hole in his hand. The scab broke open easily. Blood splattered into the slit in the pie. He was dimly aware that Lemka was speaking very rapidly in Rome, his black eyes never leaving Billy's white, gaunt face. Billy turned the knife in the wound, watching as its puffy lips parted and it regained its former circularity. Now the blood came faster. He felt no pain.
Enkelt, enough.
Lemka plucked the knife from his hand. Billy suddenly felt as if he had no strength at all. He collapsed back against the park bench, feeling wretchedly nauseated, wretchedly empty, the way a woman who has just given birth must feel, he imagined. Then he looked down at his hand and saw that the bleeding had already stopped. No, that's impossible. He looked at the pie in Lemka's lap and saw something else that was impossible. Only this time, the impossibility happened before his eyes. The old man's thumbs relaxed, the slit closed again, and then there simply was no slit. The crust was unbroken, except for two small steam vents in the exact center. Where the slit had been was something like a zigzag wrinkle in the crust. He looked back at his hand and saw no blood, no scab, no open flesh. The wound there had now healed completely, leaving only a short white scar. It also zigzagged, crossing life and heart lines like a lightning bolt.
This is yours, white man from town, Lemka said, and he put the pie in Billy's lap.
His first, almost ungovernable impulse was to dump it off, to get rid of it the way he would have gotten rid of a large spider someone had dropped in his lap.